Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air with the mission to equip you in life and truth because life and truth matter. In our post-truth culture of confusion, the need for Christians to be equipped with truth has never been greater. Truth equips you to live life authentically in Christ, enabling you to strive with all His energy that He so powerfully works within you. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is a delight, a pleasure, a privilege to be in the studio answering your questions on today's Bible Answer Man broadcast. We are live in studio. The number to dial to get your question answered live, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Do remember our contact information on the web, as just mentioned, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I do want to take a couple of Facebook questions, although a lot of you are hanging on, and I'll get to you as soon as possible. The first from Jeremy, who says, I look forward to reading your new book. Do you have it in audio as well? And the answer to that question is yes, we have both audio pages as well as written pages. In fact, I voiced the entire book after I came out of the hospital, so the book is available in both forums. You can get it in audio pages and in a written text. And you can find both on the web at equip.org, and either one of them available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Hank Unplugged podcast, and our outreaches around the world. So check it out on the web at equip.org. When you donate to the ministry, we'd be happy to send you one or both of those resources. Please be generous as you give. Another Facebook question by Glenda, who asked this question, which has been perturbing me over a long period of time, I would say since the time I saw it yesterday at least. She says, thank you for your vital ministry, and goes on to ask, what in the world is going on in Genesis chapter 19 with Lot offering up his daughters? Well, if you remember the story is poignant and profound. Here Lot is visited by a couple of angels, and Lot shows them hospitality. He takes them into his house. But he lives in the midst of sodomites who are asking that the angels be brought out so that they could have sex with them. And Lot is trying to figure out what to do. Is he going to offer up the angels, or is there another solution? And he comes up with the solution of offering up his daughters instead. Well, then the question becomes, how can the Bible refer to Lot as a righteous man when he offers up his daughters to be gang-raped by the sodomites? Well, if you want the answer to that question, you always have to put the magnifying glass in the hands of the New Testament authors. And Peter comments on this very thing in saying that God rescued Lot. And then he says, Lot is a righteous man. So according to God, Lot is a righteous man. Is he righteous because he offers up his daughters to be gang raped? No. The Bible tells us, and Peter in his own words says, that Lot was a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men. For that righteous man, living among them day after day, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. So he's living in the midst of a very, very carnal and debased culture. And he's distressed by that. And his distress, his principle of wanting to honor God as opposed to honoring the culture, is a sign of his righteousness. But the Bible never presents the patriarchs nor the apostles or prophets in some kind of an airbrushed fashion. They're always presented with all of their warts and moles and wrinkles. They're carnal men. They're fallen men. The righteousness, however, is the intent of their heart. And so God deems Lot righteous, not because of what he did, but in spite of what he did. Now, if Lot had done the right thing, he would have trusted in the arm of God. He had the emissaries of God in his own home. God could have protected him, but like we often do, we take matters into our own hands. And by the way, there's a parallel account to this, interestingly enough, in Judges chapter 19. So the story of Lot and the Sodomites is Genesis chapter 19, but there's a story of a Levite who offers up his wife to the evil people who were in the tribe of Benjamin. And as a result of doing that, she is not only raped and pillaged, but killed. And that eventually brings civil war to all of Israel. So Israel comes into the Canaanite culture, and instead of transforming the culture, they become conformed to the culture. And now, because of the evil of the rape of the Levite wife, you have absolute war, leading to the lives that are lost, or the lost lives of thousands, tens of thousands of people, the destruction of the nation of Israel in many senses. So we see once again that the evil of men is in that we so often, even as Christians, are conformed to the culture instead of conforming the culture to Christ, and we find that same thing happening in America today. Instead of Christians transforming the culture, Christians are being transformed or transfigured, as it were, by the culture itself. So Job was a righteous man. Abraham was a righteous man. Lot was a righteous man. But as the Bible correctly, well, underscores, they were men who had all kinds of foibles just as we do. So our righteousness is the intent of our heart to serve God and to follow Him. And that intent, of course, must be followed by actions. And those actions are always fortified because we're not in isolation. We're within the body of Christ. We're receiving the graces that transform us and that give us the power to transform our culture. Well, we get a lot of questions on Facebook, and we'll be answering more of those questions, YouTube, Facebook, however they come in, Twitter, right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. But of course, so many questions come in live as well. So let's go to those calls right now. Bill in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bill.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have a question. My father asked me today, did Judas have the opportunity to not to betray Christ and repent of that? And then also I have your book, so if you refer to it in your book, could you tell me the chapter so I can look it up for myself?
Yeah, I don't actually refer to this in the book, but I have referred to this or written about this elsewhere. But the truth of the matter is, yes, Judas could have repented. Judas had free will. All of us are given free will by God. So we have the ability to act or to act otherwise. And Judas had that same ability. Now, of course, God knew exactly what Judas would do, and therefore the Bible is prescient in being able to tell us precisely what Judas would do. Not only that Judas would betray Christ, but that he would not genuinely repent. He certainly was sorry because of the ramifications of what he did, but he wasn't sorry for his sin, for the sin that he committed itself, or the sin itself that was committed. So we do have the opportunity to repent. Judas did, and we do as well. And we're ultimately held culpable for the choices that we make. And therefore, we cannot say, I was just made that way. We have the choice to follow God or to do otherwise. Coming to Station Break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
Are we in denial about death and dying? Over the last century, as life expectancy has dramatically increased and dying has moved from the home to the hospital, we've increasingly bought into a denial of death. Quite simply, we'd rather avoid discussions of death entirely, making the passing of loved ones or friends an eventuality many are unprepared to deal with. Rob Mall wrote The Art of Dying to equip followers of Christ in the lost art of dying, reminding us that death is not the end when life eternal awaits. To receive your copy of The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come, call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.
Unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, we will die. But most of us live as if death does not exist. Simply put, we don't know how to die well. Rob Mall wrote The Art of Dying to recover the deeply Christian practice of dying well. For centuries, Christians have prepared for the good death with spiritual disciplines that direct the actions of both the living and the dying. The Art of Dying is a gentle companion for all who face death, whether one's own or that of a loved one. As Christians, we know that death is not the end, thus preparing to die helps us to truly live. To receive your copy of The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to our phone callers. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Sherry up next in Edmond, Oklahoma, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, how are you, Hank?
I'm fine, thank you.
I'm calling with a question that I know that you've discussed many times before on your show, and I don't know if you get tired of answering the same question. But I'm asking because I have a teenage son that seems to be turning away from his faith that he professed when he was younger. And this is one of the things that he is hung up on, having to do with sin and evil in the world. And if we know that God is holy and God is righteous and God cannot go against his nature, but yet there's still sin in the world, where did that sin come from? If God created all things, where did that sin, when Satan turned away from God, where did that come from?
Yeah, so the simple answer to that question, Sherry, is that God did not create evil, but he did create the potential for evil. And it is similar to the answer I gave on the other side of the break, where God creates human beings as volitional beings. They have the opportunity to act or to act otherwise. And you see that in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve could have ascended the Edenic mountain to the Shekinah glory of God and forever eaten from the tree of life and therefore be transformed from one glory to another. But instead, they fell, as it were, for the ruse of Satan, who offered something to them. Now, wasn't that what he offered to them was not realistic, but what was not realistic is that he could give them something that he did not have the power to give them. And so they ate from the tree of knowledge. If they had not sinned by eating the forbidden fruit, they would have ascended the mountain and forever gone from one glory to another. They would have experienced union with God, which is an ongoing process. But instead they fell. And as a result of that, evil comes into the world. Now, God can root out evil, but if he were to root out all evil, he would have to root out all men, because all of us are evil. All of us are beset with evil in one sense or another. So God has chosen a time where he's going to separate the wheat from the tares, and that time will come in the eternal kingdom. But I think there's something more important to recognize. You oftentimes think as a skeptic that there are so many different ways of answering this question, but there are only three answers that are ever extant to people. So what are they? You have the answer that is given by pantheism, by philosophical naturalism, and by theism. And let me explain that. Pantheism denies the existence of good and evil because in a pantheistic worldview, God is all and all is God. Philosophical naturalism, and by the way, this is the worldview that undergirds evolutionism, supposes that everything is a function of random processes, and therefore there is no such thing as good and evil. You ought to read some of the contemporary atheists and evolutionists who talk about this. No such thing as right or wrong, no such thing as good or evil, they say. And, of course, there can't be anything such as good and evil, right or wrong, if everything is just a function of molecules in motion. So, again, they suppose that everything is random. There's no such thing as good and evil. And that leaves us really with one choice, and that is theism, which has a relevant response to the question of why bad things happen to good people or why there's evil in the world. And theism by itself isn't satisfactory. Only Christian theism becomes satisfactory. because Christian theism acknowledges, as I said earlier, that God created the potential for evil because God creates human beings with freedom of choice. We can choose to love, to hate, to do good, to do evil, and the record of history bears eloquent testimony to the fact that humans of their own free will have actualized the reality of evil through their choices. Now, there's another point that needs to be made, and particularly to your son, and that is without choice, love is rendered meaningless. And I've said on this broadcast over the years that God is neither a cosmic rapist who forces love on people, nor is he a cosmic puppeteer who forces people to love him. Instead, God is the personification of love, and through that love grants us freedom of choice, without which we would be little more than pre-programmed robots. So the fact that God creates the potential for evil by granting us freedom of choice will ultimately lead to the best of all possible worlds, a world in which there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. God chose Christ, and Christ will redeem the evil from the world. Those who choose Christ themselves will be redeemed. And no more will they be subject to evil, and they will be forever able not to sin in the new heavens and the new earth. So there's a problem of sin. God creates the potential for sin by giving us freedom of choice, but without that choice, love would be rendered meaningless.
Right, right. So does that free choice, did that apply to Satan and the other spiritual beings, other angels?
Absolutely, yeah. So the spiritual beings are either fallen or not fallen. So if you look at a guardian angel is not fallen, but Satan and his minions are fallen. But they had a choice as well. They could love and honor and serve and obey God, or they could serve the dictates of their own wills. And you have a third of the angels that follow Satan in his rebellion towards God.
Okay, well, thank you. I know we try and understand it with our finite minds, but I know one day we'll understand it better. But I hope that I can use that to explain to him.
If you want to hang on, I actually have an answer in a written format. It's in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. That might be helpful to you. In that written format, I explain that God doesn't create evil, but he creates the potential for evil by giving us freedom of choice, and without that choice, love would be rendered meaningless, and so forth. And then also that there are only three potential answers to that question to begin with.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Gary. Gary is in Henderson, Nevada, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Gary.
Hi, how are you? Thank you, Hank, for taking my call.
A pleasure.
I'm reading two of your books now, Apocalypse Code and Life After Life. And, man, they're amazing. I'm learning so much.
Well, I hope you get my new book at some point when you get done reading the other ones. The Truth Matters, Life Matters More book is sort of my magnum opus. It is the book that I most want people to read because I think the book will not only be transformative for you, but the book has already been transformative for me. It's sort of autobiographical in some sense. It tells my own story.
Well, I am going. I wrote it down a while ago because they were giving the information that Truth Matters, Life Matters More, and I just wrote it down on a piece of paper. I'm going to order it from you after this call.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. I like what I first heard the title "Life Truth Matters" because you've stressed truth your whole ministry.
That's right.
When I was writing that down, I said life matters more, and I thought about one of the chapters in your book, Life After Life, is, you know, the last chapter. I know it's there. I haven't got to it yet. But, you know, where you talk about this subject, Life Matters, what we do now is critical for eternity.
Yes, it is, but we can have the life that matters more even in this life, the life that Jesus describes as life to the full or the abundant life. Unfortunately, Gary, because of our prologue to the question, we didn't get to your question. I hope you can call me another time and get your question in, or maybe we can answer your question off air, because I'm flat out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Band broadcast. Do you remember Monday through Friday at this time? Your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Thank you to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference in the lives of people, not just for time, but also for eternity. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.